So GPS stands for Global Positioning Systems. And I'm sure living in Albuquerque, you know what that is. We have all these jets and planes. We have the secret spy stuff up north. They developed the bomb. So we know what that is up. It's a space-based navigation system. Provides location and time information. In all weather, in all conditions, on or near the Earth. It needs an unobstructed line of sight for four or more satellites. This is pretty basic stuff when you think about it. The U.S. created it. The project really started in 1973. They gathered information from research from the 60s. So you think about how long this has been going on. It's the Department of Defense is the one that actually developed it, which they originally used 24 satellites when they developed it. It became fully operational in 1995. They now have at least 31 satellites, and they orbit about 12,000 miles above the Earth. And really all you need is a portable GPS device. It's free. They give it to us, anybody in the world, free. So Garmin developed their system in 1989. I bought a Garmin GPS, a portable GPS unit, in about 2000. And I can tell you that I believe it was the best thing that I ever got for my marriage, period. And it sounds a little funny, but you stop and think about it. As people in God's church, we travel. I've been lost literally all over this world. And sometimes you get a little gruff. You're lost. You don't know where you're at. You can't read the signs. You know, we went to Pasadena one time, and I passed that college four times. I couldn't figure out the exit. So this could have been monumental for our life. I wish I could have had it the whole time we've been married. But literally, I know it seems weird. And when it gets dark, I don't know why I get turned around, but I do get turned around. But what I've learned when I got the Garmin is I really had to turn it on. Because, you know, just having that machine doesn't really work, does it? Having any piece of equipment, your car or anything. But we're talking about GPS, so you have to turn the GPS on. You have to play with it a little bit. Maybe read the instructions. You have to build confidence when you're using the GPS system. Because, honestly, if you don't use your stuff, it doesn't really work very well. I mean, because you don't know how to use it. Anything that we buy new, whether we have these iPads, I'm trying to learn to do some new things on my iPad, you have to mess with it. I started using a GPS. And I started using it going places that I already knew how to get to. And I would question sometimes when I wasn't places, but I would make wrong turns on purpose. And it would say, recalculating, right? Comes out with this nice voice. Or make a legal U-turn. Because I went the wrong way. You know, nowadays, it's not so new, right? Every phone, my iPad has one. My iPhone has one. Everybody has GPS now. So we kind of take it for granted. I recently went elk hunting, and my buddy handed me a tracker. So I wouldn't get lost. And it would point it, you just turn it on, and it marks where your Jeep's at or where you're at. And wherever you're at, it just points a straight arrow and says how many yards or how many miles back to where you're at. I would have been lost. I can tell you where we were at because I've never been in this area. We're up in Williams hunting, and we were pretty successful getting what we went up there to get. But I could have definitely been lost. Why am I talking about GPS? This is the greatest time right now at the beginning of the year to look at your plan or my plan or our goals. And we're not really going to talk about all of our goals today, but I definitely want to talk about spiritual goals. Some people really sit down and talk about their goals at Passover, which is a great time to set them down. But I want to talk about our goals right now at the beginning of 2016. We're going to primarily stay on spiritual goals. So I'd like to turn to our first scripture of Matthew 6, verse 33. Oops, my Bible upside down. And in verse 33 it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to use the tracker. And I hope I'm not too clever for some of you guys out here, but I call it the God tracker. And so this book is part of the plan. This is where God's plan's really laid out for us. What is the plan? GPS stands really from my position, okay? God's plan for salvation. GPS. God's plan for salvation. For all mankind. Not just for us sitting in this room. I mean, we're a small part of God's plan, really. You think about throughout time. Last week we had a sermon and it had this time chart of all of humanity that Scott McKeon laid out for us. And you look at it right where we're at, it's a small part right now. But the billions of people that live for us before us, it's God's plan for all mankind, not just for us. Us right now. But for all mankind. Just imagine that the people that are baptized are not, but just imagine when you got baptized that there's a baseline chart of some kind. And so there's this line drawn there. It says, Brent Erickson, baseline 1974 when I got baptized. And so am I above this line or not? Have I grown? The whole idea is, what have I been doing since 1974? Seriously. If you think about GPS and you think about God's plan is more than GPS. God's plan is more than this thing that the Department of Defense created, and the Russians and some other countries have this also. But it's more than that. Way more than that. Let's look at our next scripture. Let's look at Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened. So we're talking about the books being opened. How are those books opened? Up until now in the computer age, how could there have ever been enough information ever stored? Like I think, like a man. So in my head, how could anything store all this information? How could anything store, how could there be books about just me, let alone about the billions of people that's ever lived? How could those books exist? Seriously. Until now, when you think about the computer, how much information's available, you think about God in His GPS, how everything is, the pictures, the data that's been created all of these years. You think about those books are open, those books are real. Those books take my thoughts in, my actions. So for 40 years, for sure, since I've known God, He's been, those books were there. That information is there. How is my progress or your progress? Thinking about God's plan for salvation. Am I above that line? Have I just eased on that line for 40 years and no growth? Am I below that line? Maybe I haven't been doing my job. Maybe I forgot about what God called me to do. How does your chart look? Just think about you, not anybody else. And don't point fingers and don't look at it. But just think about your life, your chart. Steady growth. Is there spotty growth or no growth? Of course, we're talking about our goals. There's seven areas that people set goals in, and we're primarily going to talk about, or what we're going to talk about today is spiritual goals. But you have family, wife, husband goals, business goals, financial goals, health goals, and charitable goals, personal goals. Let's look at our goals. What worked last year? So if anybody set goals in 2015, and if you didn't, I encourage you to set some goals for 2016. So if you did, what worked last year? The things that you set out to talk about, say, hey, I want to be a better husband, or I want to read more, I want to understand more, I want to grow. So what really worked? And really be positive about how, as you're thinking about it. Think about what worked for you. And think about what could work for you for 2016. And then also have a list or think about what didn't work. Where didn't I grow? Where didn't I come up to the part to grow, or I didn't bring clarity, or I didn't bring what I needed to bring? Stay positive when you're looking at yourself. Stay positive when you're looking at the goals, whether you were really good or not so good, but stay positive. The key is always stay positive, because growth comes from your position, being positive. We're all called in different ways. Everybody in this room is called a different way. God doesn't just call us in one simple fashion. Throughout this book, you could read all of the ways people were called. We're called in different places, meaning different times, different paths. Some of us have led different paths and are still leading different paths than others. Completely different ways of life. Like you say, she's talking about she gave up all the creature comforts of living in this country or living in Albuquerque. I mean, it's a different way of life. You know, I realized when I was putting this sermon together that I'm not in the kingdom of God now, am I? I'm really not. I've heard about the kingdom of God for 40 years. I have not seen God that I know of, or a likeness or an angel, but I might have. Eagle's wings has not gathered me up. You know, I'm still here. Does that seem weird when you're thinking about it? You've been coming to this church and I think about the goals and I think about where I would have been years ago. You think about books written way back in the old days that maybe meant something or didn't mean something in our church, the prophecy 1975. I remember as a young kid, I never thought that I'd make it till I was 21. Just based on the church's position at that time and what they were saying. But that's obviously untrue, right? People had their visions of what this book was saying. I thought, well, am I doing something wrong? Did I miss the memo? Did I miss the hotline? Or worse yet, I miss the hotline? I don't think I really did. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, scripture. Huh. 1 Corinthians. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. I haven't written down, but I must have 1 Corinthians 2. Oh, I was in the wrong chapter. I'm sorry. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritual discernment. So it's hard. We're not going to know the things of God, because we're men. We have our knowledge. We don't have God's knowledge. We don't have Spirit knowledge. We don't have any of that. Let's turn over to, right while we're right there, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him that love him. So when you think about this, we're trying to know God, but it's hard to know God because if we're not doing stuff to be at one with God, we're not going to know this. And in verse 10, but God hath revealed himself to the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And we'll just keep reading a couple more verses here. For what man knows the things of man, says the Spirit of man, which he is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And in verse 12, now you have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God gives us this stuff. And in verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So the things of God are foolish to us, right? Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So if we're not spiritually discerned, how could we ever know them? The real difference here is if you think about it, the possession of knowledge and ability to utilize that knowledge is to generate results. The whole idea is, just because you have knowledge, you need to figure out how to generate results with that knowledge. Just having knowledge and not using it. Like I had the GPS, but if I didn't use it, it wouldn't work for me. So right now we're coming back to what we're talking about, God. We've got to use God to get the discernment to use his GPS system so that we could know what we're doing. Wisdom is the ability to think, act, using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. And knowledge is familiarity, awareness or understanding of someone or something, such as facts, information, description, skills, which is required through experience or education by preserving and discovering or learning. So you put wisdom and knowledge together. God expects us to have that wisdom and knowledge, and he expects us to have results. We're not here just to hang out. We have to have some results. So if we turn over to 2 Chronicles 1 verse 10. Now give me wisdom and knowledge. So who's saying this? Obviously this is Solomon. So he's asking God, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before the people who can judge this great people. Who could judge this great people of yours? So Solomon asks for wisdom and knowledge. So he's praying for wisdom and knowledge. And in verse 11, and God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou shalt hast not asked for riches. Solomon didn't ask for riches, did he? Wealth or honor, or the life of thine enemies. Neither yet has he asked for long life, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that they may judge the people over whom I have made these king. This made him king. So in verse 12, wisdom and knowledge, this is God, I granted. Wisdom and knowledge is granted to you. And I will give you these riches, wealth, and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before you. Neither shall there any after thee have the like. So no one is going to have the riches that Solomon had. Basically, because he was praying for the right things. If you don't pray for the right things, how could you get the right things? So he was praying for knowledge and wisdom. In Proverbs 9, verse 10, I'll just read it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 9, verse 10. Where are we now on the spreadsheet thing? You know, I'm just going to talk about this. It's maybe a little goofy, but are we above that line? When you think about wisdom and knowledge, do we have a nice steady flow upwards? Have you looked at your goals, especially the spiritual ones? Just think about it. How much knowledge do we have? Every time I go to give a sermon or a sermonette, I realize that my knowledge base is not where it should be. And that you learn so much when you're trying to do this. So it might be kind of fun for you to practice that. Don't do that. To practice doing one. Even you ladies, if you were going to give a sermon or sermonette, you really have to gather some knowledge to come up with a topic. And really have to, I mean, you can give it to yourself, obviously. But it's kind of a cool thing because you really learn so much more than sometimes, at least for me, I do. How much wisdom do I have? Do I fear the Lord? I want to be in God's kingdom. I want to see God in Christ. I want eagle's wings to gather me up, however that is, because as you read lots of places, it's not how I think this jet or this eagle or whatever picking me up. It's obviously it doesn't work that way. I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. I must use God's plan. I must use the plan in this book. And the only way I can use the plan in this book is to discern this book, have wisdom and knowledge about God's plan. I need to be at one with Jesus Christ. So God's plan, in my mind, stands for God's plan for salvation. For all mankind. Not just for us. God's plan for salvation. For each one of us in this room. Or anywhere. We must turn on God's GPS system. Think about how much more if we turn it on God's GPS system, God's plan for salvation, than just a little Garmin or our iPhones. Where are we going to be at with that GPS system? I must utilize that GPS system. I've got to build confidence in that system. If I'm not building confidence in it, how can I stand boldly before God? How could you think about all the patriarchs throughout time standing boldly before leaders, before their deaths? How could they do that? Because they had confidence in this book and what it said. God's position of assistance is so much more than the Department of Defense's. So our first point, I really didn't number them, is prayer. When we're talking about unleashing God's GPS system, the only way we're going to get knowledge and wisdom is to pray about it. So in 2 Chronicles 1:10, we just read that scripture, but give me now wisdom and knowledge, Solomon said, that I may go out to come before the people. Each one of us are supposed to be that light upon the hill. Each one of us in this room, we're supposed to be that light. So if we don't have wisdom and knowledge, how are we that light? How could we ever be that light up there? Each one of us has that opportunity. And we really are supposed to be that shining light on the hill. So let's go over to Psalms 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O Lord, of my righteousness. You have revealed me. Hear me when I call, O Lord, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. We have to ask God to hear our prayers. You know, I don't know if you think this way, but in my mind, I believe God always answers my prayers. We talked about an answered prayer today. But He never answers it the way I really want Him answered, right? And He never really answers them on Brent's timeline, usually. I mean, I could think of hundreds of prayers that's been answered, but it's never the same way I thought they would be answered, or that I was thinking. You know, my short little mind wasn't out there with God's mind or God's plan for me. So we need to pray for those answers. And in Psalms 5, verse 3, just on the same page or right over. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto you and will look up to you. I need to be talking to God and getting that information out there. Think about the time that you spend with God when you're driving or you're praying on your knees or you're thinking about your family members, you're thinking about people in this church, you're thinking about the shining light on the hill. Just think about those things as you're praying, that you want to be that light, that you want to be that person that people think about. And someday, when God resurrects all these people, those people will remember you. Some of those people will remember who we were. Some of them will be good, and some of them won't be so good. The next point I have is meditation. Joshua 1, verse 8. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. We should meditate on these rules, on this book. We should know this book. And thou shalt may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So if we're meditating, we're going to be very prosperous, and we should have good success. In Psalms 1 verse 2, but delight in the law of the Lord, and in His law do they meditate day and night. So delight in the Lord. I know sometimes we don't necessarily delight in the Lord, and definitely not day and night. But as I looked at myself, I thought, man, I'm just, some of these things, after all these years, I never thought about, it's been 40 years, you know. I've just been kind of wandering a little bit. You think about it. Be positive about it. Psalms 19, verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto the ways, unto thy ways. Something seems kind of stupid to us. I don't think we really respect the ways of God. So my next point would be Bible study. Proverbs 1 verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, and also in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equality. To know the wisdom and instruction. We need to know the wisdom and God's instruction to us, to perceive the words for understanding. My next point is repentance. Obviously, in a few months, probably 3 months or so, we have Passover coming up. So this is something that we can be thinking about. In Mark 1, verse 4, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So it was a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That was John the Baptist before our elder brother Jesus Christ came. And in Mark 2 verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." So obviously he called us because we need to repent for our sins. God's called us right now. And if we don't continue to work on ourselves, God's position for us, then sometimes we might be slacking just a little bit. Mark 24, verse 47. Is this 24? No? Maybe I got that one wrong. Maybe it's 2, verse 47? Nope. Whatever. So my next point would be, know the Word of God. Psalms 1 verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we need to know the Word of God. In Proverbs 2 verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We need to find the knowledge of God. In Matthew 22 verse 29, I'll just read a couple of these. Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." So we're erring, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. So if you think about it, knowing the Word of God this is a great scripture to look at. And I, when I found it, I was like, wow, I never knew it was the word err, E-R-R. Knowing the scripture of the power of God. We already read the scripture, 2 Chronicles 1:10. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out. I have walked or been in God's church since I was 15. I came in this church right around Christmas time. And the first time I was in church, we come from behind the stage. My parents were kind of goofy, I thought. I don't know. So it was kind of weird coming to church in Salt Lake. And we settled down in here. And my mom, before we came, said, hey, we don't do Christmas or any of those things. And so, and it was a couple of days before Christmas. I don't think it was Christmas Day. It was in 1969. The doors burst open and this Santa Claus dude came in. And I was like looking at my mom like, what's going on here? This is bizarre. But you think about where you come from. People, you just don't think about. I started at that realm in church my first time. My mom telling me one thing. This guy jumping in. It's kind of a little confusion there, at least in my head. And then it went on. But for 40 years, you've been thinking about God's word. You think about God's plan. And you know, in Deuteronomy 8 verse 2, it says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led these 40 years in the wilderness. God's, there's a lot of people, a lot of ministers, a lot of people have been doing this for a long time. He's been leading these men, families, households for 40 years or more, sometimes more, less. And it's just out there. And you think about Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. The Israelites left. And they didn't buy into God's plan. They didn't listen to the fact that God had a plan for them. They sent out the spies and they looked into the promised land. And only two of them ever got to enter that promised land. Because they just didn't really buy into that. So they wandered those 40 years. Can you imagine all the other people in the world or the people that knew about them out there for 40 years? They had to have known because they had to fight and they were slaughtered and God just moved them out for 40 years wandering through the desert. There's God's way and there's man's way. If you think about it, God has his way. Every time we come to church, every time we come in contact with someone, every time we wake up and we see our spouse or our kids, It's about, is it God's way or is it man's way? Every day we struggle with that. God expects us to have results. Every day when we're thinking about our lives, what kind of an impact do we have on other people at work, in this church, this building? What kind of impact do we have with these people that we rent this building from? Or wherever we're at, what kind of an impact? God's plan is for salvation for all of mankind. So I'd like to read Titus 3 verse 8 for our last scripture. And so in Titus 3 verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. We're required to maintain good works. Some of us might not have good works, so we're required to get good works. And maintain those good works. We want to be that light on the hill that people will remember. The people that are not in our church remember. People that are in different congregations in the Church of God might remember. People that are out there struggling might remember us. The GPS really is God's plan for salvation for all mankind.